title of my sermon this morning is, and he'll have it up here in a second, is Fire for God. To me, that shows, because we're going to look at in Revelation chapter 3, that shows the fire that people have for God. People don't just come in here and spend hours. There were people in here for hours scrubbing carpets, cleaning this sanctuary here, all for you. Because they have a fire that's on the inside of them. They have a fire that's on the inside of them for God, and they have a fire that's on the inside of them for Life Point Church. And they want to do what's necessary to be pleasing in the eyes of God. And so I'm thankful for the people that came and did what they did. I was also going to say, on Easter Sunday, I mean, we've mentioned it in the bulletin, and we've made mention of it, you know, doing announcements here, during video announcements, but I'm really passionate about each one bring one on Easter Sunday. People come to church, when do they come to the church mostly? People, they come on Easter and they come on Christmas. You know, you'll see the church is filled mostly on those days. Well, I don't want to see the church is filled just on Easter and Christmas. I want to see the church is filled every Sunday, 52 weeks out of the year. So, what does that take? That takes people who have we've been talking about love all morning here this morning. It's talking about people who have a love for God and who have a love for people, and they want to see people one into the kingdom of God. They don't want to see anybody perish because I didn't ask them. A lot of times people come to church eventually just because you ask them. We talk about sitting and praying people into church, and we should. But you know what? That prayer, that faith that you're releasing in your prayer, what's it say? It says faith without works is dead. Most of the time there's a corresponding action to the faith that you're believing something for. There's a lot of times God's going to tell you, go here, ask that person. Why? And why would you ask that person once again? Because you love that person. We have many family members, mine's dwindling a little bit, that aren't born again. They live locally. What am I getting at? Ask them. You know, what's it hurt to ask? And I've said this before, people say, well, it's not about the numbers. Well, it kind of is. When I talk about it's about the numbers is I want as many seats in the seats as I can possibly get so that I can share the love of God with them so that they in turn can live out a fruitful and productive life telling other people about the love of God that they receive, which in turn brings more people into this place, which turns that whole cycle over and over and over every time so that people experience the love of God that we're experiencing and the fire of God that resides on the inside of us. Now, if your motivation is just to fill the seats, just to have people, how many people can I get into my church? What my number? How big's your church? Well, mine's 250,000. Well, mine's only 10, but you know what? We got the fire of God going on. And if that's what it was, that's what it is. But I really believe that we here at Life Point have something to offer that this town's not seen before. I've said it before. Life Point Church is going to do something in this community, in the surrounding communities, that they've never seen before in this area. What's it going to take? It's going to take people that are on fire for God. People who, and I had to come out of this place, people who aren't comfortable where they are. We can get comfortable. I mean, I was retired for, 5 years before we went to Bible college. We were pretty comfortable. We had our grandkids around. I worked a little part-time job after I retired from the prison, you know, working security at Gibson City Hospital. Come and go as I please. And that job there, I could set my own schedule. I looked at the calendar and said, yeah, I don't want to work that day. I'll work this day. And they let me do it. And, of course, I did work quite a few hours. But we were comfortable. Go anywhere we want. We're both retired at the time. Go anywhere that we want. Not accountable to anybody. No kids at home. We were comfortable. But you know what? It's time. And it's not that we weren't serving God at the time, because we were in our local church there. And we were, believe me, we were serving in our local church. And but it's time that we had to come out of that and say, no, God's got something bigger for us to do. He's got something that he's called us to do, and we need to go and fulfill that. When guys in my position were retiring, and I had one guy said, I'm going to retire, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to sit in my fat daddy chair for my retirement. Well, God didn't tell me to sit in that chair. And so here we are at the young age that we are, because we are still young. At the young age we are, and we're stepping off into another realm of this walk of life that God's called us to. Why? Because there's a passion, there's a fire on the inside of us that can't be extinguished. We're not going to let it be extinguished. And I think that if, I don't want to say that, you're right. But it can't be extinguished. And so it's not going to be extinguished. It's going to be kindled. It's going to be more fuel is going to be added to it. And the longer that we're here and the more familiar we get with this community, the more familiar we get with all of you. I almost said all of y'all. And I started saying that when I was out in Oklahoma. But the more we get more familiar, there's probably some southern people in here someplace. But the more we get familiar with everyone in this building here, and the more we get familiar with the ones that are that come and that don't, and that come that don't, man, there's that fire is just going to burn even brighter. Because now, and I said this yesterday, man, it feels great to have people running with me. Having somebody run with you instead of they're pulling you back and they're dragging you down. It's an anchor. They're part of your church, but it's like you're constantly running like this. Man, I don't feel like I have that here. I feel like I got people that are running with me. Trevor mentioned Ed. I mean, we could mention many of people in this building here that are doing so many things right now. Why? Because they love this church, they love the people of this church, and they want to see a level of excellence in this church that maybe has not been experienced in the past. I don't know. I don't know what happened in the past, and it doesn't matter. I know where we're at, and I know where we're moving to. So, saying all that, the title of my sermon is Fire for God. And I wanted to go to Revelation chapter 3. And very familiar verses here. Most of you have heard these verses before. But you know what? We never want to get to the point where we say, I've heard that before. I believe that the Bible is progressive. It's progressive revelation. How many have read the Bible one time and they got something out of it and they read those same exact verses a week later and you get something else out of it? That means that it's progressive. God is the Holy Spirit. We don't know everything. We have a finite mind that the Holy Spirit, he's wanting to reveal things to us. And the more that we spend time with him, the more that we spend time in his word, he's going to reveal those things to us, those truths to us. I still can't get over this. I can because I know it's true. But he's going to reveal truths to us that come from the throne room of God. Imagine that. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that says, man, he says he's only going to speak what he hears. Well, who's he hearing it from? That's where it's coming from. The things that he speaks to you are from the throne room of God. Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 15. It says, I know your works and what you're doing. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Some translations say, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Yikes. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered and grown wealthy, and I am in need of nothing. And you do not realize and understand that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. God was speaking to the Laodicean church. And the thing about the Laodicean church, they understood this analogy. They understood what Jesus was saying because the water that they received into their city came from a spring that was 6 miles away that flowed through an aqueduct all the way to the city. So you've got water flowing from 6 miles away in the sun in an aqueduct so that by the time it got to the city, what was it? It was lukewarm. Neither hot nor cold. So they understood this analogy that Jesus was talking about. And in fact, warm water in some instances, and some people say warm water can be nauseating. I mean, some people drink hot water just for fun. Well, they say funsies, I guess. I'm not that person. But they drink cold water. And that's just it. In this passage here, it says you're neither cold nor you're hot. There are benefits to cold water, and there are benefits to hot water. And he's saying, I wish you were one or the other. You're either cold or you're hot. Some people would say, well, you're not hot, you're cold. Well, you're cold, then that means that you're away from God and you're not on fire for God. No, there are benefits to cold water. There are benefits to things that are hot. How many like, this is one of my favorites, cold. You take a glass of milk, you put it in the freezer. I just heard Carrie go, oh. You put it into the freezer, and you go about making your breakfast, and you get all done with your breakfast, and you go back to the freezer, and you pull that milk out, and there's a little rim of ice around the top of the glass there. That is the best. And then to chew up that little bit of ice milk, that is just the best, you know. So to me, that cold there, that is great. It has benefit. It benefits me because I love that. Or you take, and I was thinking of this too, you want something hot. Now, most mothers probably with head kids probably never ate a hot meal their whole life, did they? Yeah, Carrie says, he never ate a hot meal, taking care of everybody else. But me, if I want something hot, and I'm not usually somebody who likes hot food. I like warm food. But anyway, not lukewarm, but warm. I don't like hot food, but the one thing that I do like is I like hot tomato soup. And then you take crackers and just crumble them all up, smash them all up, and put them in the soup so that the crackers absorb all the tomato soup. And so basically, you're eating tomato stew. There's no soup left in it, but it's hot, you know. And I just, that's for me, that's something that I really love. But he says, so because you're lukewarm, because you're unconcerned about the life and the power of godliness, you just show some resemblance of religion. Your hearts are unchanged. He's saying that you are sickening to God. Yikes. You're neither hot nor cold. You're sickening to God. I'll spew you out of my mouth. I'll vomit you out of my mouth, is what he's saying here. Man, he's painting a vivid picture. A picture that, and when I was studying this, I kind of looked up some things on the internet, and it showed a visual of this guy spewing out of his, okay. Yeah, that's a little bit too graphic. But he's trying to create this graphic image because sometimes we just don't get it. Well, I'm doing my thing. I'm going to church. You got a form of godliness. You're feeling good about yourself, but you're not hot or cold. Man, he says, I'm going to puke you out of my mouth. Let's get more vivid. So, he said, and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Like I said, this is a vivid picture. Warm water being nauseating is what it's starting to say here. Churches and Christians who are not hot when they need to be hot and that are not cold when they need to be cold, living this life that's really not pleasing to God. He's trying to tell you how I feel about that. He's trying to tell us how he feels about us, not hot, not cold. There's benefits in both. He's trying to tell us, man, I don't want you down the middle of the road. I don't want you to be half in and half out. I don't want you to be sitting on the fence. We've got all these different sayings that we say. He says, I don't want you being any of those things there. I want you hot or I want you cold. There's benefits to hot. There's benefits to cold. I want you in one of those two camps. I don't want you riding the pine. I don't want you sitting on the fence. He says, I'm going to cast you out. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And in verse 17 here, it says, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered and grown wealthy, and I'm in need of nothing. Carrie and I, we were comfortable. Comfortable where we were. Would we really need to, I mean, we could have traveled. We're retired now. Let's just travel. Let's just travel the country. I want to go to New Zealand. I want to go to Ireland. Those are places I want to go. I've not been yet. We were going to go to Hawaii for our 25th wedding anniversary. But then when you have two daughters get married back-to-back years, kind of takes care of that money. So what they do, they threw us, I've never had one before, they threw us a surprise anniversary party. Never had a surprise party before. So it was Hawaiian theme. So I come home. It's on a Sunday after church. No cars in sight. I don't even know where they, to this day, I don't know where they parked. I walk in the house, I open up the door, and I don't know how many people in there. They all yell, surprise! And I stop for a second, and this is no joke. In my mind, I'm thinking, who are these people? And I knew every one of them, but my mind said, you don't know who they are. And then it went from, who are these people, to, man, I didn't mow my grass yesterday. These people are here seeing my, they're seeing my 6-7 inch grass. I didn't mow my grass. And then I was just like, and then they wanted to go outside in the yard. I'm like, no, let me mow my grass. But anyway, but we were comfortable. We're both retired. We could have been doing whatever we wanted to do. But we said, no, no, there's things that God wants us to do. He wants us as individuals and to be on fire for him. He wants us in the church that we're in, the church that we're involved in, to that church to be on fire for him. We were supportive ministers in the church we were in. I was the associate there. Carrie was the praise and worship director. I mean, you think about praise and worship directors, they got to be on fire for God because she's involved in the CCLI. She had like 900 songs that we had filed in the computer and in a hard copy in the cabinet. And you ask her, hey, Carrie, what's the number of this song here? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, that's 724. We go to the cabinet, it was 724. You know, that's to be able to do that, you either got to be really good with numbers, you got to be on fire for what you're doing. And I believe that she was on fire for what she was in what she was doing. William Booth, he was the bold witness and soul winner who started the Salvation Army. And he said, here's what he said. He said, unless I go about my business of saving the souls of men with an energy and a zeal almost amounting to madness. Who's done that? Almost amounting to madness. Nobody will take notice of me, much less believe what I say and make everlasting profit out of it. He knew the world had had enough of lukewarm, insincere, dead, so-called Christians. Yikes. Do we fit into any of those categories? I think that there's times in all of our lives, if we really stop and think about it, we think, man, the Lord told me to do this here, and I did something else instead. Huh. But he knew the only way to inspire and draw others to his message about the Lord was to show them the life of and light of God, getting a fire of God, letting his light so shine. There was a fire on the inside of William Booth. He says, I gotta let it glow. I gotta let it shine. I'm not gonna be like the Laodiceans there in the book of Revelations. I don't wanna be a lukewarm Christian. I don't wanna only be on fire for God when it's convenient for me. I don't wanna be on fire for God only when I'm going through some trouble and I need help. And I heard once that, hey, God is the answer. Man, he's the answer all the time. He's the answer every day, every night. If we spend time with him, we spend time in his word, we spend time with his people, we spend time in this place here, we do the things that he's called us to do. He is an on fire God. He wants that fire to rage on the inside of us. And when it does, we see these things happen in our lives. That fire that comes, man, it's almost like I can't contain myself. There's a zeal, there's a madness on the inside of me that says, I got to get the love of Jesus to these people. And how do I do it? Lord, tell me how to do it. Brother Hagin said, he got the mandate from God, said, go teach my people faith. And he said, man, Lord, how can I do it? I'm only one guy. One guy back in the 1950s, whatever it was. One guy. And now it's a worldwide ministry. 297 Bible colleges in 56 countries. Started from one guy in South Texas. Because he had a fire burning on the inside of him. What's it? I'll speak to myself because I know you don't want me to speak about you. Rick, what's it going to take for that fire to burn that way inside of me? Now, I do examine myself. Pretty much, I would say I examine myself at least yearly and say, okay, where are you at? Where are you at? Are you ahead of where you were last year, or are you still back here? Well, I would say that if you look at it from the outside, and even in my own heart, over the last 5 years, this is where we were. I believe this is where we are now. Can we say that all the time? I mean, can we stop and say, okay, where was I a week ago? Have I moved forward in the past week? When God told me to speak to that person at work, did I speak to him? To me, when the Holy Spirit says something to you, you act upon it, that's that fire being stirred up on the inside of you. That's that fire that says, man, I got to do what he's told me to do. There's a zeal, there's a madness on the inside of me that says, man, I have to do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. I can't get around it. I want to do it. It's a part of who I am. Ask yourself, I ask myself, where am I at with God? Let me keep going. I don't have much time. I got till 3 o'clock and that's it, I promise. But am I always looking for opportunities to do what God's called me to do? I mean, I've said it before, when I've got 26 years of working for the Illinois Department of Corrections. You'll probably get all 26 years throughout my course here at this place here. But after I had my awakening in segregation, I wasn't in segregation, I was working segregation at that time, and the Lord comes up to me and shakes me awake and says, you know, I died for them just like I did you. Okay. And that just woke me up. And from that moment on, working there, I looked for opportunities to be able to minister to the guys who were locked up there, to the staff who worked there, whether it was sharing Jesus with them, whether it was encouraging them, whatever it may be. I asked the Lord every day, show me somebody that I could minister to. And he showed me something every day. And if we're looking for it, it is there every day. And when he shows that to you, to me, that fire that's burning on the inside of you will start with, show me. And that fire that's burning on the inside of you will say, okay, now I'm going to do what you showed me. Man, how many times have we heard him tell us something and we didn't do it? You know? But I would do it. And so without even thinking about it, I would step right into whatever it was that he showed me to do. I've said it before. One guy I talked to, shared Jesus with him, got born again. 3 days later, he died. An inmate there at the prison. Another one I shared Jesus with said he was born again. I said, oh, he said, but thanks for the encouragement. I said, Lord, why did you have me share that with him? Well, two things. For the encouragement, which he needed, and your partner who professes to be a Christian is shy in his faith. I needed you to share it for his benefit. And so I did. And so from that moment on, he started coming out a little bit more with regards to his faith. Abraham Lincoln. He says here, he was obviously wearied with lukewarm Christianity when he exclaimed, I don't like to hear cut and dry sermons when I hear a man preach. I like to see him act as if he were fighting bees. Can you envision that? Somebody preaching like he's fighting bees. Like this. But I think that's what it takes sometimes. I think that we need to do things. I mean, I don't do it for anybody's benefit, but when I'm up here during praise and worship, I can't stand in one spot. And if it weren't, and I think we're getting around this, but if it weren't for the camera, I wouldn't stay up here on the stage. I would be down there. But we're working on that. I think we have a wider angle and stuff now. But anyway, I it's like when you're preaching the Word of God, you can't contain yourself. Trevor found out yesterday when I asked him to speak for 15 to 20 minutes at our men's meeting, and then I spoke after that. He found out real quick that 20 minutes goes by really fast, and he still had a lot more to say. But you know what? When it's welling up on the inside of you and God's speaking to you in the midst of your presentation, time does fly by when you're preaching. Most of the stuff here, if you notice, I haven't really looked at my notes much since I've been up here. It's just stuff that's coming up out of the inside of me that God is sharing with me as we're going. We got to depend on the Holy Spirit. We depend on the Holy Spirit. That's when the fire is ignited. But being on fire for God doesn't just mean hooting and hollering. Ooh, that struck a nerve maybe. Just because you're hooting and hollering doesn't mean you're on fire for God. Sometimes it's a show. The Spirit of God, and I believe there's a time for hooting and hollering. Everybody know what hooting and hollering is? Okay, I'll just make sure we're... John the Baptist, he was a voice crying in the wilderness. Actually, if you break down that word crying, it means John the Baptist was a voice hollering in the wilderness. I'm going south again, you know, y'all and hollering and all that stuff. But it's not always a hooting and hollering service. There is a time for that. There's a holy joy that wells up on the inside of us, a fire that wells up on the inside of us that is William Booth is talking about here with this zeal and almost to the point of madness that will happen from time to time. But you know what? The fire of God and the presence of God can fall to where you can be sitting in a service and all you hear is the furnace running. Wasn't for that furnace, you could hear a pin drop. It didn't have to be hooting and hollering for the fire of God to be manifest in our presence. They were all in the upper room. What were they doing in the upper room, the 120? They were praying. They weren't screaming. They weren't jumping. They weren't hollering. What happened? The presence of God fell and tongues of fire set upon each one of them. Why not here? It can't. We don't have to have I've seen too many times we try to reproduce in our churches. Oh man, we had this Holy Ghost fire meeting on Sunday morning. And then they try to reproduce it the next Sunday. Don't do that. Spirit of God doesn't work the same way all the time. I mean, I was at a meeting out at Raymond one time. I don't know if anybody knows Daryl Huffman. He was one of the speakers out there. And they were going through the audience and they were praying for people. And I just had this unction on the inside, and it's like, man, it's like something is welling up inside. When you can't sit down, you just got to get up and do something. Walk, run, jump, do something. And I'm just sensing that on the inside of me. And he comes and he stands right in front of me and says, he doesn't know me from anybody, walks up in front of me and says, you might as well. And that was it. He didn't know. But he's being led by the Spirit. There's a fire that was burning on the inside of him that says, Holy Spirit speaking to him says, you might as well. And so I did. But I think that we need to listen to those things. We need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is doing, what he's wanting to do in our presence. And when we do, then we start seeing that fire of God. And it may be silent. It may be boisterous. It may be whatever, however the Holy Spirit wants to move, whatever it may be. But then we begin to see it. The fire of God only goes out. It's only extinguished when people choose not to seek the face of God. When we choose not to seek God's face, that fire can be extinguished. It can go out. And then once it goes out and bad things start happening in our lives, well, then we go back to the church because we need help. And that's okay. Come back to the church. Let us help you. But we want to see some staying power also. And so when you come back to the church for help, if you come to me, I'm not a licensed counselor. I've been told to never say that you counsel people. You give spiritual guidance. I give the Bible. That's all I give. I don't have anything. I got some common sense that God's given us, but I have the Bible. That's the counsel that you will get from me. But it can only be put out when we choose not to seek the face of God. People have been on fire for God, and it goes out in a few days, few weeks, few months. I went to Promise Keepers back in 1995. I've told this story 3 or 4 times already. But first time I had ever organized anything with a group of guys going anywhere. I was the shy person, carried it all the talking up until I was probably 32, 33 years old. And so I just wasn't that guy. Well, then I organized this trip to go to Dallas. Well, we go to Dallas. We got 62,000 guys in Texas Stadium, worshiping, praising God, hands raised. And I said this yesterday in our men's meeting. I said, and they fed lunch. 62,000 guys got fed lunch in 20 minutes. That's amazing in itself. And guys were the ones who headed this up. That's even more amazing. No, guys are smart. Guys can do things too. But I came back from that, and there was something that was stirred inside of me. There was something that, as Paul was talking to Timothy, he says, stir the gifts that are on the inside of you. Well, the Lord told me, he said, none of these guys here at Texas Stadium, the preachers and teachers, they're not going back home with you. You need to learn how to stoke your own fire. Well, he taught me how to read the Word. Well, Rick, that sounds funny. How can God? Why would God need you to teach you how to read the Word? Well, he taught me to read the word by paying attention to periods, question marks, exclamation points. But Rick, it wasn't written like that originally. I don't care. That's how it's written in my Bible. So I paid attention to question marks, exclamation, and periods. And I read it. If there's a question mark, I read it as a question. You know, exclamation. I read it like that. You know what? The word of God became alive to me. But it's not just that I was paying attention to those periods and question marks and things like that. I was paying attention to, man, what's God got to say next? What's he going to say next? Because I've said it before, this Bible right here, this Bible was written to me. This Bible was written to each and every one of you. We should take this Bible, because it's a letter to each and every one of us, and say, man, what else does he have to say about me? Man, you read the Word of God, and there's a lot of stuff in there that it says about who we are. We just went through a 3-week series on In Him, who you are in Him. Man, get a grip on that. And that fire will burn. It will burn wildly. It'll be a wildfire. You hear wildfires? Have a wildfire in your heart when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you. But yeah, went to Promise Keepers. And you know, there at Promise Keepers, a lot of times you'll go home 3 days, man, I'm on high for God. I'm on fire for God. And a week goes by. Yeah, I'm on fire for God. A month goes by. What's for supper? All of a sudden, you know, that fire is gone. Well, like he told me, you got to learn to stoke your own fire. You got to go get the wood. You got to come over here and grab this word and say, okay, let me stoke my fire. Okay, let me add some more wood. Or it should get to the point where we come over here and say, man, I got to get back to this word. Man, there's something I needed right there. Ooh, yeah, that, ooh, let me throw another log on the fire right there. Ooh, that helped. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, my fire's getting big now. I believe we go to the word, but I believe we got to go to the word. Because there's so many things in life that we don't know what to do. And when we know what the Word of God says, that fire burning on the inside of us, like, man, I got the answer. I got the answer, and it's the only answer. And I don't care what anybody says about it. That answer there is the right answer. That answer will always work. Because why? Because it comes from the throne room of God. Whew. I don't usually like to read a bunch of things here, but I'm going to read this one thing here that I had written down. A little bit lengthy. But there was a guy named Kurt Wagner. He was on a bridge, headed to a bridge to commit suicide. His God was gone. His home had been destroyed. His city was in shambles. He was seen by a friend, not knowing what was on Kurt's mind, who had invited him to go to the YMCA for a donut and coffee. Kurt did, and there he found a copy of God's simple plan of salvation on the arm of an upholstered chair in the lounge. First, he read it with disdain, knowing that it was from the USA. Then he read it with interest. Then he read it many times and felt under deep conviction. He held it up and called out, "Is there anyone here who can help me understand this track? There are people crying out, can anybody help me understand this? Can anybody tell me what it is that I must do to be born again?" And we have the answer. Stir the fire that's on the inside of you. First he read, like I said, with disdain. And is anyone here that can help me with this track? A Methodist minister was in the YMCA and heard his plea. He took the track and led Kurt to the Lord. Kurt went to Bible school and seminary from that. He became a pastor of 2 Methodist churches in the suburbs of Frankfurt. He built a 4-story building to take wayward young men off the streets and to reach them for the Lord. All from a track. Got a hold of what it was saying. A fire was ignited in him. He added fuel to the fire. And when he added fuel to the fire, he went to Bible college. He pastored 2 Methodist churches. He built a 4-story building to help wayward young men. The fire of God was lit on the inside of him. There are so many ideas and so many businesses and so many different things that are on the inside of each and every one of us that God wants us to do. But until we light that fire and say, hey, God, how do I do it? I know you want me to do it. How do I do it? Who do I talk to? Whatever it may get that fire burning on the inside of us, there's things that God wants us to do that will affect this community. But we have to ask him what it is. We have to get in a place with Him, position ourselves in a place with Him. Number one, just to know who He is. Know that His love is for us. And He wants everything that's best for us. And He'll show us things to do. Amazing things that you never believed you could do in your life. Goes on here to say, my father went to visit Kurt in 1956. They were thrilled to pray together and rejoice in the things of the Lord. In 1960, a family in our church contacted Kurt to visit their 18-year-old soldier boy stationed in Frankfurt and who was out of fellowship with the Lord. This young man could hardly believe his eyes. He told Kurt, all my life I have heard the name Kurt Wagner, probably pronounced, saved through reading the tract my pastor had written. And now here you are in my presence trying to get me back to the Lord. It worked. This young man is now 55 years old and is serving the Lord in a church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Who was Kurt Wagner? That was Adolf Hitler's bodyguard. Through the course of that track, the Spirit of God moved upon him that lit a fire in him. Said, man, I've got to do something for God. God has something special for me. God loves me. So I'm saying this to say that it doesn't matter where you've been or where you've come from. It doesn't matter how far you think you've been away from God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God loves you, has a plan, has a purpose for your life. And so we need to seek that out. How do we seek that? Man, spend time in His presence. We don't have to come to church and scream and holler and think that we're in the presence of God. Man, spend it in your home. Spend it in your recliner. We got a new dog. I turned my back on him. He was in my recliner. She was in my recliner. Yeah, she got real comfortable real quick. But that's how we should be. We should be comfortable in the presence of God. Knowing that He loves us and He's got great things in store for us. And man, that should just fuel the fire in on the inside of us. When I think about fires and fueling fires, I think about high school football games where we're from up at Prairie Central, Fairbury. They would have a bonfire, you know, before the game. And it can get cold in the fall. I would normally go by myself because Carrie didn't want to sit out there in the cold. But I'd go to the football game, and they would have the bonfire. Well, when they build a bonfire, it's not, you know, throw a couple logs on the fire. I mean, it's huge. And they throw all kinds of kindling in there and whatever it is to help get that thing started. Now, just as kind of a disclaimer, kids, don't try this at home. I know this is on video. When I started my fires, I went over with gasoline. Put it on the fire there, on the wood there. And then what do? You pour a little trail back, probably about 15 or 20 feet, and then you hit that thing, and then, whoo! I mean, it just goes up. And so that's how I think of bonfires, you know. But the thing of it is about a campfire or a bonfire, either one, it's up to us to fuel that fire, or what happens? Fire goes out. In our Christian walk, it's up to us to fuel the fire, or the fire goes out. How do we fuel the fire? We fuel the fire with the Word of God. We fuel the fire with spending time in His presence. We fuel the fire by praying. We fuel the fire by praying in the Holy Ghost. We fuel the fire by a lot of different ways, but it's always focused on God. And when we fuel the fire that way, the fire stays lit. Now, you know, if we're on fire for God, I said earlier, some people for a month, some people for a couple weeks, some people for 3 days, and the fire starts to go out. Well, in a lot of fires, what happens? The coals are still warm. You wake up in the morning from being out camping and you put your hand over, you can still feel heat coming from that. Well, that's when you stir the fire. But then what do you got to do when you stir the fire up? You got to add more fuel to it. You got to come back over here. You got to add more fuel to that fire. You got to add more. No, we're not burning Bibles. But anyway, it's reading the Bible, studying the Bible, getting to know who you are. You got to keep fueling the fire in order for that fire to stay hot, to stay red hot. When I cook a hot dog on the fire, I'm not necessarily looking for the blaze. I'm looking for those nice red hot coals. I mean, put that thing down in there, burn that thing up. Some people like it, but I like it burned up. But I want to keep that fire red hot. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, says, but you will, and when I think of will, I think when Jesus says that, I think, okay, this is a guarantee. This is what's going to happen. It says, but you will receive power or authority when what? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Huh. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you look what he says they're going to do. They're going to be spreading the word everywhere. You don't spread the word of anything unless you believe it, unless you have a fire for it, unless you have a stirring on the inside of you that says, man, this is the answer. These disciples, they had the answer. These are, a lot of these guys here were, did a lot of goofy things up to this point here. Denying Jesus. A couple of chapters later here, Peter's preaching the greatest sermon ever preached, and 3,000 people are saved that day. That's somebody who's on fire. That's somebody who says, I got something to say, and Jesus, he's the answer. And I'm going to put it, I'm going to get it out to you, and I'm going to speak it boldly. I'm not going to be shy about it. This is what it's all about. 3,000 people were saved that day, and then you go on and talk about people adding to their number every day. Nothing's changed. We're to take this word to Mattoon, Charleston, Shelbyville, name all the other towns around, Humboldt, name all the towns around here, to the othermost parts of Coles County. Why? Because we have an answer. There's a fire on the inside of us. Never let the fire go out. Never take a day where you don't crack this thing and read something out of it. Never let a day go by, because God has something to speak to us every single day. In Matthew 3:11, it says here, John the Baptist speaking, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Something will be ignited in you. When he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be an igniting on the inside of you, that you can't help but go tell people about Jesus. You can't help but operate in the gifts of the Spirit that we talk about later on in some of these in Corinthians and some of those areas. You can't help but do it. You can't help what he said in the book of John chapter 14, that you're going to go do the things that he did and greater, because he goes to be with the Father. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Think about that. Who doesn't want to operate that way? Jesus said that you can and that you should. I think that if we're not operating, I might get brave here. If we're not operating in the things that Jesus has told us to do, then we're lukewarm. Okay, that didn't go over very well. Let's move on. in Proverbs 4:20, it says, my child, pay attention to what I say. No, listen up. That's what he's saying. Pay attention. He said, listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Ooh. Look carefully at my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. This requires effort. It requires commitment. If we want to have that fire burning on the inside of us and continue to burn on the inside of us, it requires effort. It requires commitment to God and His Word. If we're not willing to put it, they'll tell you that in all kinds of things. If you don't put in the work, if you're an athlete and you don't put in the work, what's put in the work? You're doing things that nobody else will do. You're staying after practice and running sprints when everybody else has already gone home. It's going to require effort. It's going to require work, but the benefits, the payoff is great. You know, a lot of people say, for those who know Brother Hagin, said, I wish I just had the faith of Brother Hagin. Or you can say, I wish I just had the faith of the woman with the issue of blood, or the faith of blind Bartimaeus. Are we willing to fuel the fire to be in that position? It's going to require work. It's going to require effort. But it's worth it because we have a God who loves us, and we love Him. I mean, if I asked who loves God in here, I'd say 100% would raise their hand. He's got something in store for us. I'm going to land this plane here in about a second. But before I do, I just kind of wanted to go, and this might seem a little bit graphic, but people who had the fire of God burning on the inside of them and committed their lives to God were some of the disciples, some of the apostles. And it cost them everything, their lives. But they were willing to do it. That fire burnt on the inside of them. You had Matthew, suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia, killed by a sword. You had Mark, who died in Alexandria, Egypt, after being dragged by horses through the street until he was dead. He had Luke, who was hanged in Greece as a result of the tremendous preaching to the lost. He had John, who was boiled in oil. When that didn't work, they sent him off to Patmos. He eventually came back, and he died of old age. He's the only one that died peacefully. Then you had Peter. He said he was crucified upside down on an X-shaped cross because he wasn't worthy to be crucified like his Savior. You had James, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, who was thrown hundreds of feet down from the southeast pinnacle of the temple and refused to. And then, when he refused to die, deny his faith in Christ. It's the same pinnacle that Jesus was tempted by Satan. And then when he fell to the ground, he wasn't dead, so they beat him with a fuller's club. Well, a fuller's club is this wooden mallet, and they just beat him to death until he was dead because he wouldn't deny his faith in Christ. You had James, the son of Zebedee. He was beheaded at Jerusalem. You had Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael. He was martyred for his preaching in Armenia and was flayed to death with a whip. You had Andrew, crucified on an X-shaped cross. You had Thomas, who was stabbed by a spear in India during one of the missionary trips established by the church. You had Jude, was killed with arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. You had Matthias, the apostle chosen to replace the traitor Judas Iscariot. He was stoned and then beheaded. And you had Paul and everything that he went through. All these people here, and this is just a few examples of the people who had the fire of God on the inside of them, that they refused to deny who he was and who he was in their lives, and there was a price to pay. There may be a price to pay for your belief in God and that fire that burns on the inside of you. It may not be anything near what we just read right here, but there will be persecution. The Bible says it. You will be persecuted if you desire to follow Christ. But you know it's worth it. And I keep looking back at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, when Paul's telling Timothy, man, your mom, your grandma, they had this tremendous faith, and I know it's in you too. He's saying in verse 6, he says, stir it up. That fire that's smoldering on the inside of you right now, stir it up. Fan it into flame. Add fuel to that fire. Because why? Because he says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. Man, we walk around this world today and we walk around in our communities and our jobs today and the Lord's telling us to do something. And why don't we do it a lot of times when he says to do it? Fear. What will they say about me? What will they do to me? How will they ridicule me? We got to get past that. We got to get past that and realize that God has something tremendous for us to do. And it's going to require us stirring that fire up on the inside of us. We had our men's meeting yesterday. I'm going to end with this. But we had our men's meeting yesterday. I don't know. I think we had 15, 19 guys, something like that there. I don't remember how many was there. Great turnout. I believe the men of this church are stepping up with regards to what it means to be all in here at Life Point Church. The women's group, same thing. When they came and did what they did, that demonstrated to me, they don't know what that means to me. To have a demonstration like that, and it might seem like something so simple, but a fire that's kindled on the inside of them that says, I gotta help. I gotta be a part of what's going on. They don't know what that means to me, but when I was in the men's group back there yesterday, Trevor shared, like I said, 20 minutes goes by like that. I'm sitting back there in the chair, and at one point I go, meaning you have 5 minutes. And then I said, 3 minutes. And he's reading faster. He's talking faster. But you know what? It's because there was so much that the Lord wanted him to say that I just got to get it out. And I know that there were probably things that he said that were not even in his notes. But the Holy Spirit had ignited a fire in him to get that out. Well, when I was in the men's group yesterday, when Trevor got done speaking, I opened up the floor to the guys in the room. Guys in the room had stuff to say. Guys in the room had comments to make. I sensed a shift in the guys in this congregation yesterday morning. We're going to be having a men's Bible study. We're talking about it. We're making plans for it. And I told him, it's not going to be an ordinary Bible study. Gerhard's going to lead it up. But it's not going to be an ordinary Bible study. We're going to do guy stuff. Trevor was talking yesterday about how when he advertises with the, or promotes the company that they're with, they cater to women and children. Why? Because a lot of times guys don't even, if they come to church, it's Easter and Christmas. But you know what? I don't believe that here at this church. I believe that shift happened yesterday, and I believe that guys are stepping up. And like I said earlier, I feel like the guys of this church, and people in general, but the guys of this church, I sensed it yesterday, they're running with me. They're not running, they're not pushing against me. So expect great things from the guys in this church, because great things are going to happen at their hands. As we close out the service, and this is another thing that, and maybe we're all good with this, but I don't ever want anybody to leave this place with their needs unmet. If you need prayer for something, man, if it's fear that's keeping you from coming up here, don't let it. We use that verse many a time in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if God didn't give you the spirit of fear, where did it come from? It came from Satan. He doesn't want you to have your needs met. He doesn't want that fire kindled on the inside of you. And I'm hoping that's what I got across here this morning, that there is a fire that is burning on the inside of you. When the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you, that fire was kindled. Some of you have a radical transformation, a radical story about being born again. I don't. My dad led me to the Lord when I was 4 years old, and I've been in church ever since. When the doors were open, we were there. But you know what? My story is just as important as any radical story, and I'm going to tell my story. But when the Holy Spirit came to reside on the inside of us, no matter what our story is, that fire was kindled. Now it's up to us to keep it going. It's up to us to stoke that fire. It's up to us to add fuel to that fire. And I guarantee you, when we start adding fuel to that fire, you're going to see tremendous things happening in your personal life, in your family, at your job, in your church, in the grocery store, at the dentist office, at the eye doctor, on down the line. Name a place, and things are going to happen. Because why? Because you're there. That prison in Pontiac didn't shut down because I said, as long as I work at this place will never shut down. People said I was crazy. You're living in a dream world. And when it didn't shut down because I made that declaration, I went up to that same guy and said, welcome to my world. He kind of looked at me strangely. But I had a knowing. The Holy Spirit's inside of me. He speaks to me. He tells me. There's a fire that's on the inside of me. And that fire's not going out anytime soon, people. And I hope your fire does not go out. I hope that when we leave here today, we look for ways to throw wood on the fire. Fuel that fire. Father, I just thank you for this morning here. I thank you that your word's true. I thank you that you lead, you guide us. You show us things. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. I thank you that the fire has been lit. Father, as your word went forth today, I thank you that that's been fuel to the fire. I thank you that the people's hearts have been triggered, have been awakened to your word. And I thank you, Father, that we will take time to evaluate where we are and what's going on in our lives and how we can be of service to you.